Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Daddy,
Okay, the rule here is when the kids get loud, the preacher gets louder. Don't worry about it. So there are certain texts, certain little lines that recur everywhere. Like this little text here that says, Jesus coming on a cloud. It doesn't say on a cloud, it says in a cloud. In Matthew it says on a cloud. I've always thought that was a little bit like, really? It didn't really catch me at all. It's like, yeah. It felt a little bit like George Washington crossing the Delaware. Maybe it's bad art that I've seen, right? Jesus coming and... But it never quite grasped me. This week, it grasped me. It doesn't say coming on a cloud. It says coming in a cloud. Even into a cloud. I like that a lot. Because there's a lot of cloudiness going on.
My snack up.
So, let's think about that for a minute. Jesus is saying, a couple of weeks ago we talked about this, how Jesus is not saying God is going to do all these horrible things. It is that Jesus comes and sees these things that are happening, reads the signs of the times and says, "Oh, dear people, the temple is in trouble. Israel, you're in trouble. Rome is coming. Do not resist the power of Rome. That's not what you're called to do. You cannot match their power with your power." But that is what happens, and the temple gets destroyed. And that's the apocalyptic moment of their time. The temple, the house of God, destroyed. So Jesus is saying, look, when these things are happening, then you will see the Son of Man coming into a cloud, your confusion. The sea and the waves, which are stereotypical images for chaos in the world. These things are happening. And when these things are happening, that's exactly when you should start to look for the Son of Man, for Jesus to come. To enter into our confusion, to enter into our fogginess, to enter into our animosities, to enter into all the things that are such a struggle for us. Lift up your heads and see that your redemption is near. Just when things look the worst. Just when you think you're stuck in resentment. Lift up your head. So, I got to tell you a story. Lynette allowed me to tell this story. So it happens in small ways. It happens in bigger ways. This is a small way, but it's a beautiful way. So, somebody got hired at her school that she really was resentful that he got hired, and it just was frustrating. It got under her skin, And she had a hard time interacting with this boss. So she found herself writing emails because you got to interact, right? And this guy's name is Chris. So she's writing, "Dear Chris, da 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 da." She looks up, typo. Goes back, fixes the typo. "Dear Chris, da 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 da, typo." Ah! Goes back, fixes it. Until finally it dawns on her, oh, this isn't just a typo. This is Jesus talking to me. The typo is she's adding a T to Chris. And so she's not writing, "Dear Chris," who I'm really mad at. She's writing, "Dear Christ." Oh, dear Christ. I'm really mad at you. I'm really frustrated because, no. And so after a while of doing this, her heart is changed. Oh, I am looking at this all wrong. In the fog of her frustration, she wasn't thinking about what God might be doing in this. But that little T, dare we say cross, arrives in her emails and reminds her of who she is and to whom she belongs and the spirit in which she is to be, even if she is frustrated. So into the fog of her frustration comes Jesus. It's beautiful, isn't it? Just great. "Dear Christ, no." So it happens in these small ways where Jesus kind of intervenes into us when we're angry, when we're frustrated, when things bad are happening, when we're suffering. Bam! Lift up your head because Jesus is near. And I can't think of any better kind of image for the way things are in the world right now than the emergency room of a hospital, where there's a lot of triage going on. Well, I happened to visit an emergency room in Phoenix. Got popped in the head with a wicked bad hop and had to have stitches. So had to go to the hospital. They dropped me off at the hospital. I go in, and there's two. They separate you right away. You have COVID symptoms. Yes, you go to that ER, that room, and if you don't, you go to this ER. So I went to the one that's not the non-COVID ER. There's, I don't know, probably a dozen people in the ER. And they're all just sitting there, and it's just a miserable place. And you walk in, you know how ERs are. Maybe you don't. God bless you if you have never been in one. But, oh, they can just be very heavy places, right? And so I walk in, and they're doing a great job. Everybody's separated, and everybody's masked and everything, but everybody's just kind of got their head hanging down like this. And there's this first person I see is this girl. She's probably 13, and she's holding her wrist, and she's obviously in pain, and she's wearing a softball uniform, of all things, because I was wearing a softball uniform too. And I said, "Oh, what happened?" She said, "Oh, I got hit by a pitch." I said, "Your wrist?" And she says, "No, my elbow." And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. That really hurts." And I sit down, and she's by herself, which is kind of sad. I was going to sit next to her, but the sign says, "No, don't sit next to people," so I'm sitting away. And after a while, her mom comes in, and I'm like, "Oh, good. She's got some company." And so I join the rest of the people. I put my head down. I was doing the Jesus prayer for everybody in there. You know, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy." But my head was down. And then I hear, "What happened to you?" And I'm like, and this little girl's asking, "What happened to you?" And her mom says, "Well, nothing happened to me. I just had to park the car." And she goes, "No, not you, him." And she points at me. And I'm like, "Oh, what happened to me? Oh, I took a wicked bad hop at shortstop." And she said, "You were playing softball?" And I said, "Yeah, me and you have a lot in common, you know." And I'm holding I've got a bandage over my head and everything. And she says, "Oh, that must have hurt." And I said, "Yeah, it hurt a little bit. It doesn't hurt now." And she said, "Oh," and we get into a little conversation. And then there's a guy across the way. And she says to him, "What happened to you?" And he looks up and he goes, "I don't know. My left eye got blurry. All of a sudden, I can't see out of my left eye." And she looks at the guy, and she looks at me, and she says, "This is a bad day for left eyes." And I said, yes, it is, and it's a bad day for lefties in general. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're a left-handed batter, aren't you? And she said, yeah, I am. I knew because she got hit in the right elbow. And she said, yeah. And I got a lot of extra credit for that because she was like really impressed that I knew she was a lefty. So this happens, and all of a sudden it's like people are starting to laugh a little bit. And then there's an old guy across from me, and he is obviously an abuelo, a grandfather, and he's just hunched over his cane. And nurse comes out and starts to speak to him, and he doesn't understand English. He's Spanish speaking, and this young kid who's also in there for I don't know what just kind of meanders over and sits next to him and says, do you mind if I translate? She says to the nurse, and the nurse says, well, ask him if that's okay. And he does in Spanish, and this guy's the abuelo, his eyes just light up because, oh yeah, okay, now I understand. And this kid translates this whole interaction. He himself is in the ER to take care of something, but it doesn't matter. He's over there taking care of this old guy. It's just beautiful, right? And then they take the old guy away, and he goes and sits down, and all of a sudden there's two people over here who I haven't heard a peep from. They look up and they go, that was so cool for you to do that. And he said, well, if my grandmother were in the ER, she would need somebody to do that for her. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is great. And then there's this lady in the far corner, and nobody wants to get near her because she's throwing up and into the plastic bag, right? And, you know, that's the one thing nobody wants to get near. And so, of course, you know, she's over there, and it's like, oh, this poor, poor woman, right? She's in a wheelchair. She can't do it. And somebody gets up, walks into the bathroom, and comes out with paper towels and hands it to this woman and says, here you go. And through all of this, she can barely breathe. She can still don't know. She says, thank you so much. Oh, this stuff is just, it's amazing that in the midst of this emergency room, in the midst of the place where there's chaos and confusion and there's suffering and there's all this stuff, all of a sudden you look up, you lift up your eye and there your head, and you see the salvation of God. You see your redemption. It is stunning to be able to bear witness to this kind of inspired acts of Jesus in the midst of all of that struggle. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. What an honor to see this. Now, once in a while, my tendency is to then tell you that story and then say, now, go out and do likewise, right? Carry the kingdom of heaven. Do the nice thing. And when I do that, just tell me to shut up. That's not because that's not really the point of this at all. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus coming to us in the midst of all of our struggles, in the midst of our suffering and everything, it is not a power that we wield. It's not a power that we exercise. It is pure and simply a gift that we receive. And it comes, we don't beckon it, it comes of its own. And that's what I want to say to you today. This coming of Jesus into the midst of our clouds and cloudiness and frustrations, it is a gift. And it will come. It is a promised gift. And I know of no better image for this promised gift than the baptism of an infant, of a child. Right? Because that child hasn't done great things and isn't exercising a lot of great power. Instead, this child is receiving the very promise that every one of us has received in our baptism. That God will be there. That God will arrive in the emergency rooms of your life. Jesus will show up. And the thing that you think cannot be redeemed, your anger and your frustration, your injuries and your sufferings, all of it can be redeemed. All of it is being redeemed. That's the promise into which we have been baptized. And that is the promise into which little Harvey Scott is going to be baptized in just a few minutes. And ours is not to add anything to it. Ours is to bear witness to it. To wait and watch and to pray for him and for his family and for one another. That Jesus will come. This is what we practice in Advent. This is what we yearn for in Advent. This is what we are promised in Advent. So we're going to sing about the gift that is coming, the gift that comes to us. And then we are going to watch it enacted in these waters of baptism.